runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 642, Power Apps with guest Sandy Ucia. Recorded Friday, May 17th, 2019. Run As Radio is produced each week by Sound Thoughts LLC. For more information, visit soundthoughtsllc.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and thanks for listening to Run As Radio. I'm back from the Build conference where I recorded a few shows, which are some have come out, some are still due to come out. And in between, I'm doing some regular interviews as well. And I have with me today Sandy Ucia, who is a technical evangelist at Lightning Tools, a developer of SharePoint and Team Web Parts and Tools. She is a SharePoint and Office 365 enthusiast and speaker, a digital nomad, and a Microsoft MVP for Power Apps and Flow. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Richard. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, no, I'm excited for you. Tell me a little bit about Lightning Tools. I hadn't run across these guys before.
Well, that's a shame. We've been around since 2007, actually, which is pretty long in SharePoint years,
well,
I think.
Definitely. That's pretty much all of SharePoint.
Right. We offer various tools and web parts that help fill some of the gaps in SharePoint, such as permissions management, content roll-up, discussion forums, and data visualization.
It strikes me as these are all the things that you end up having to build for yourself.
Yes.
So why not have somebody else maintain it for you for a fee?
That's pretty much it. Yep.
Yeah, I like that a lot. That's cool.
We've got some pretty exciting new versions coming out that we're bringing out at the SharePoint conference in Vegas, using the SharePoint framework and Teams tabs and so on. So.
Right. And we're recording this just before that conference. Although publishing afterwards, I'm sure it was great and everybody loved your new product.
I'm sure.
I mean, SharePoint's obviously undergone this amazing transformation to the cloud, which I think has really changed the parts business entirely.
Yes, it has a good bit. Although these are the same web parts that we've had since 2007. We've just been adding and redeveloping them with each new SharePoint version, basically, and taking advantage of all of the new technical things we can do.
Well, the product's gone through lots and twists and turns. But
yes.
I really wanted to drill into the work you've done around Power Apps, because I don't think we've ever had this conversation on the show before.
Oh, all right.
So tell us about Power Apps. What are they and why should we care?
Oh, well, Power Apps are Microsoft's tool for allowing possibly citizen developers or it's a fairly low-code solution for developing apps that you can use on mobile devices and access any of your data in not only SharePoint, but in any one of the pretty much about 200 connected services that that Power Apps and Flow support. And the idea being that it's a way to bring that content and the interaction with the content to where the workers are working. So, you know, they might have an app on their iPad or on their mobile phone, you know, out on a shop floor or in a plant in a shop, and be able to access the data that they need and enter data and interact with it.
Nice.
And it's an easy enough platform that someone who's pretty proficient with something like Excel macros or has a basic concept maybe of programming ideas can put together an app pretty quickly without needing to involve developers and understand about all about developing mobile apps.
I appreciate you said low code, because I think the easy thing is to say no code, and it's not true.
Not so much. No, I mean, you can do it with no code if you just do the really basic three screen app that is generated automatically if you tell Power Apps that you want to create an app from data. Mm-hmm. And so you can choose, for example, a SharePoint list or a Excel table or something like that and have Power Apps generate an app for you, and it'll work just like that. And that involves absolutely no code. But most likely, you're going to want to tweak that and add things and, you know, do some UI shenanigans and things like that. And that will get you pretty quickly into needing to write formulas and understanding some basic concepts about controls and on the screen and things like that, which I would call low code.
Right. But I do appreciate you can always make a demo for no code.
Yes.
You just actually want to do a little more work than that.
Yes.
Although I would consider that a compliment. The moment folks ask more of an app, it's kind of a sign you've done something useful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, the real death of an app is when nobody wants to use it.
Right, right. Yep. And so when I do some Power Apps jumpstart trainings, mm-hmm. I call them, where I'm just, you know, somebody hasn't looked at Power Apps at all before and just wants to know what it's about. And that's where we start, is by doing the auto-generated no-code app, and then seeing about some simple tweaks that we can do to that, because there are some pretty easy things you can do as far as just rearranging fields, you know, making things visible or not depending on the value in some other field. Some things like that are not difficult to do, and that gives someone the ability to at least create something that people can put on their phone and actually use.
I'm reminded of Microsoft InfoPath, which may just be mm-hmm. me shoulding off my old age. Because it does seem like this would be a great form-filling tool to feed data into SharePoint as well.
Exactly so. Yes, yeah. It is. And in fact, there are sort of two, maybe three, let's say two sides to Power Apps, Canvas apps. And that is that you can create a standalone app, but also you can use Power Apps to customize SharePoint forms in a similar way to what you would have done with InfoPath. So where you're directly in a SharePoint list and you click to customize the form, and you can customize the new display and view forms in SharePoint through Power Apps. And then when someone goes to, you know, add a new item right in the list in their web browser, then the Power Apps form is what will come up instead of the SharePoint form.
Because there's also Microsoft Forms, right?
Like, right.
Just to make it more confusing.
Yeah, that's a totally different thing. And that's more for things like surveys or quizzes, where you can gather answers and you can have those answers put into a SharePoint list if you want to, using Microsoft Flow, for example. But the form itself is very easy to use and to create forms and so on, but it's quite limited as to how you can create those forms. So you can't really rearrange things on a screen to suit yourself. You can do some sort of conditional fields by using branching in Microsoft Forms, but it's not really the same thing as it doesn't give you anywhere near the power that Power Apps does. It's really meant more for gathering data, I would say.
Yeah, it seems like Forms is also not really focused on SharePoint the same way, that it's a sort of a lighter weight tool.
I would say that's correct, yes.
Okay, all right. And you've mentioned Flow. I think mm-hmm. that's probably a significant talking point here. It's also part of your MVP.
That's true.
Tell us a little bit about Flow.
Sure. So Flow is sometimes we kind of like to say that's the glue that holds a lot of things together. Mm-hmm. It's a way of automating business processes or personal processes, to be honest, among various services. So not only the Microsoft services, but also all of these 200 some connectors that are available. So you can mix and match them up in both Flow and Power Apps. So you can have connections to multiple services within each Flow and within each Power App. And I think that's what gives them both a lot more power than SharePoint Designer Workflows or InfoPath ever had or ever can hope to have. because I can do things with Flow like, Maybe I click a button on my phone that captures my location and the weather from MSN Weather and right. puts that into a Flow and does something with it, records it or whatever.
Well, and the thing I saw with Flow was this is not just Microsoft properties. This is often to Salesforce and to, you know, all these other products.
Right, yeah. SurveyMonkey, Trello.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of the connectors are with things that directly compete with Microsoft tools, but they're still in there.
Yeah. So, it's interesting to then start thinking in terms of we want to construct a workflow between these different SaaS apps that we depend on, and the fact that I could build a form that would literally go place that data in all those different locations or pull from those different locations is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. It really is, yes. And you can do things like synchronizing those. So, synchronizing calendars between your Outlook calendar or multiple Outlook calendars and Google Calendar, for example.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? The when we're dealing with folks that isn't in calendar items, still pain. Still had sent off an invite for an interview where the fellow received it as a windmail.dat extension. You're like, is that still a thing after all this time? Still a thing? Yeah, it's still a thing. So, actually being able to glue these bits together in a way that's reliable, I think it's a non-trivial problem.
Yes.
Not to skip back and forth too much, but when you do need to write code, what's the language?
I don't know that it has a name necessarily, at least I don't know it. So in Power Apps, what you're writing is formulas that are attached to the different controls. So it's not so much a language, but rather a syntax, I guess I would say.
All right.
And so, and you're referring in the formula to other controls on the screen and to functions that exist within Power Apps. So in that way, I think it's similar to Excel, where you write formulas in one cell that refer to the values that are in another cell or the state that another cell is in, perhaps.
Right.
And then there are a whole slew of functions that you can include in your formula to do all sorts of different things. So I would say that the Power Apps documentation has quite a good reference section on all of those functions and what's available for what controls and what attributes and properties the different controls can have that you can access in other formulas. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And it speaks to this idea of sort of a workflow model that you're never really controlling things like you're a programmer.
Right.
Still, when you've got to put code behind buttons and things, like does that just happen automatically? A button, it works the way it works?
Somewhat. There are properties of buttons. So if you want to make something a button, which there is a button control, but also you can essentially make almost anything be a button.
Sure.
If it has an onSelect property. And that's one of the things. There are just a few things in Power Apps, but that's one of the things where you're writing sort of more of an action formula. You're telling it to actually do something, like maybe navigate to another screen.
Right.
So there are verb type functions then that you would use with those type of properties. But you could add a picture to a screen and it has an onSelect property and use that as your button. Rather than an actual button control, which just looks a little more like a button.
Oh, it means if you're graphically, talented, you could make anything you want style a button.
That's true. Yep.
Go as crazy as you want to go. It sounds like you could have a lot of fun building good looking forms, like really sort of giving some more graphicality to things.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Yeah, there are some pretty cool UI things being done with Power Apps that I've seen demonstrated. Actually, that's my topic for European Collaboration Summit coming up in a couple of weeks from when we're recording this, is adding doing some UI tweaks in Power Apps.
And just to reiterate again, the claim to fame here is this works on my desktop and it works on my tablet and it works on my mobile device without having to recreate, without knowing all,
well,
all of that
complexity. Well, now there's a point.
conditions. I was waiting for some conditions.
Right. Yeah. Up until just about now, you've have had to create a different version of your Power App for a phone, a tablet, a browser.
Okay.
Because of the different form factors and dimensions and things.
Sure.
So Power Apps is working on becoming responsive, which is what is required to be able to create just a single app.
Right.
And there are now, as of I think about a month ago or so, properties that you can use that hook onto the screen. So they're properties of the screen, which allow you to allow the designer, the app designer, to determine what size the screen currently is based on what device it's being viewed on, and to rearrange controls or resize controls appropriately for that size of device. So it takes a fair bit of wiring, manual wiring behind the scenes currently to do that. That's one of the things I'll be covering in my session at ECS, actually.
So you're not actually making three versions of the thing so much as you're saying, is it more like the media CSS stuff where if it's this wide, do this, if it's this wide, do that?
Yes, I would say so, yes.
Okay, which, you know, now you're getting a little codier.
But, yes, you are.
But it is an interesting problem. And it sounds like in the end, it's generating you a web page of some kind under the hood.
I don't know, actually, from a technical perspective, since I'm not a developer, exactly it's generating like for your phone, because you're not going out to a browser at all when you're accessing it on your phone. It is an actual app.
It becomes an app.
But yeah.
But maybe there's a browzer embedded in that app somehow. I don't know the answer to that. And I don't know that it's particularly important.
Right. I think that's one of the main points is that the Power Apps platform has enough abstraction from what's going on underneath that normal or semi-normal people like you and I can develop apps.
Yeah, I'm really not that I'm not that normal. But that's fine. And Sandy, I'm going to interrupt you for one moment for this very important message. This episode of Run As Radio is brought to you by the Humanitarian Toolbox. Humanitarian Toolbox builds open source software for disaster relief organizations. One of the leading projects, called Already, focuses on getting volunteers into the right place at the right time using cloud and mobile technology. HTBox builds and operates this and other applications on behalf of a variety of disaster response organizations, and they need your help. Go to htbox.org for more information or to make a tax-deductible donation. HTBox is a 501c3 U.S. registered charity. And we're back. It's Run As Radio. I'm Richard Campbell, your host, and with me, my guest, Sandy Usia. And we're talking a bit about Power Apps. And of course, I'm hiding the fact that I also live in the programming world. So, of course, I'm immediately tackling this as a programmer, which is completely wrong. You know, those reflexes are bad.
Right. Yeah, I think that's maybe who has the most trouble with it sometimes is people who are trying to say, but I need it to do this if that. And
right. It's that sort of conditional model, though. I mean, just throwing my programmer hat on for a second. The fact that you're plugged into Flow means I can build a service that you can call, period. Mm-hmm. Like I should always be able to do that. So at least on the back end side, there's just no reason to fight with this code the way you want to code. It's the client side that's going to be interesting. Because you're trying to make your life easier in these ways of building forms and making them work on different form factors. So you do have to learn how this works, how it wants to make the form.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, that seems, and it, you know, we tend, it's like I figured out this screwdriver and I'm just going to presume everything's a screw. All right. And it's not true. These just different approaches. Mm-hmm. Are there control suites for different products? Like how far down the path can we go here in terms of gluing things together?
I'm not sure exactly what you mean.
Well, I'm looking at Dynamics has some, Dynamics 365 seems to have some specific stuff in Power Apps, which is cool.
Right. So actually with Dynamics, you can use in particular model-driven apps as opposed to Canvas apps. Right. Those are somewhat converging a little bit at this point, but and using some of the same design features and so on, they're sort of morphing a bit. But it has been slightly different, a model-driven app. And to be honest, I haven't worked too much with those.
Because model-driven to me means what you described at the beginning, pointed at a SharePoint list. It builds from the model that is the SharePoint list.
Well, I would say in the Power Apps world, what they mean by that, the model-driven apps are more used with either Dynamics or the Common Data Service.
Oh, okay.
As opposed to SharePoint.
What you described with the SharePoint thing was a Canvas app.
Yeah, correct, yes. Okay.
And so I get this sneaky suspicion, because most of us are coming at this from a SharePoint perspective, that we're mm-hmm. going to be living in Canvas apps for a long time, that mm-hmm. a model-driven app is a very different creature.
It is, or it has been, yes, mm-hmm. yes. Where you're modeling, and it kind of combines with business process flows, which are also kind of a different type of flow than the, I think they're calling them automated flows now, the ones that you do, that you have been creating with Microsoft Flow. But again, I think those are converging a bit as well. I think the goal might be to kind of bring them all. So you don't have to learn two different things for each.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, I could see how they got here, because the data models in something like Dynamics are so complex. Mm-hmm. Trying to get people to just figure it out from scratch is crazy. You'd want to sort of set some guidelines around all of that. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense to me that they'd have this model approach for those complex data types, where when you're thinking something as straightforward as a SharePoint list, it's just not mm-hmm. that difficult for you to, you know what that data is, you put it there.
Right. Mostly. I mean, there are some complex data types in SharePoint too, like choice fields, people mm-hmm. fields, things like that,
right.
that you have to handle a bit differently and a little more difficultly in Power Apps and Flow, for that matter, sometimes. But yeah, not as difficult as Dynamics probably, which is, I believe, really now Common Data Service as far as where those entities really live.
Yeah, and it's a great idea. I just don't know how common it is and if it has all the data actually in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got a good name. Just trying to figure out if it's true.
Right.
But
I think that's where things are going though. So yeah, we need to learn it.
Well, and it is a moving target, right? They continue mm-hmm. to add
it
more and more to this. These are not old mature products. These are new, and so
yes.
Clearly evolving rapidly.
Right. Yeah, there are new features to both, specifically Power Apps and Flow, every week, basically.
Have they been good about not breaking your existing flows and forms and things?
Mostly.
That is a very legit answer, Sandy. I appreciate that answer a lot.
Yeah. I mean, for myself, who I'm mostly doing, training and things like that, I haven't had a problem, but I have heard about some issues in real life, Power Apps and Flows. But I would say that, as far as I have heard also, Microsoft is very responsive to those types of issues.
Right.
And I was just going to say that it's a little hard to keep up with the changes, but they're generally always very nice feature additions. So.
Yeah, and of course, it's all cloud-driven, so you're not installing a disk or anything. You just get the new version.
Right. Yeah, it's always exciting when something new shows up. Like just recently, there was the location trigger showed up in my Flow tenant.
Oh.
So where you can set a trigger, you can set on a map.
A geofence.
An area. Right. Geofencing, yeah. It mostly works.
Yeah, right. When the phone or the tablet goes into the warehouse, it kicks into a mode or it does something.
Right.
Yeah, but that's counting on GPS, which also mostly works.
That I think that's it. Yeah.
you know, the device matters in all of that, you know, different levels, qualities of Bluetooth, antennas, like all of these things come into play.
True.
As soon as you have these multiple
Whether devices. Or not you have internet.
Yeah. Amazing how poorly this stuff works when the bandwidth is down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is that an old Esther Dyson quote? It was easier to put Wi-Fi everywhere than it was to actually create a good disconnected client.
That's probably true. Probably true.
Disconnect clients are hard.
Yeah, I mean, PowerApps has that capability, but as you say, it's not that easy to do.
But if there is some mechanisms for dealing with being in a disconnected state. You go down to the corner of the warehouse with the bad connectivity, or you walk behind the metal box, like that kind of thing. It's just not immediately going to fail. It has some recovery.
Right. I think I would say that the offline scenarios are with PowerApps are more meant for when you're really offline, like out in the boonies or something,
you just don't have internet,
but you have to maybe gather field data or something. And so then essentially you're having PowerApps store that data on the device. And then when it connects, the idea is you want it to automatically sync with whatever your actual data source is. So that's the bit that needs a bit of work on the design, on the app designer's part to make sure that that's working. But yes, that's kind of the scenario. I'm not sure about the just very temporarily down, whether that even ends up mattering that much.
Well, and you know, you can, I mean, where I wear my programmer's hat, it's like you can write software that's maintaining a connection all the time. And the moment the connection is broke for whatever reason, the app is broken. It has no mechanism for reestablishing the connections that it's got. It's bad programming is what it is. But you would hope that a tool like PowerApps is just doing that under the hood.
Right.
You know, you drop a connection, it reestablishes and reconnects everything the way it should.
Mm-hmm.
Which it seems obvious. It's just harder than you think. It's, you know, those are these subtle little bits of complexity. What about the testing and management of source code and things like that for being responsible owners of software?
So, like application lifecycle.
Yeah.
That's something that is being worked on, I guess I would say. It's kind of a work in progress. I think when both PowerApps and Flow first came out, and so this is a couple years ago now, there wasn't really too much of a story around that. They were just kind of out there. But I would say now that more and more people, they've gained traction, you know, in enterprises and so on. And so that's necessary, really necessary to control who can create them. So you have, governance things to look at, who can edit them, because you've always, or not always, but since quite a while, you've been able to, for example, share a PowerApp or a Flow with somebody that you want to co-edit it with and so on and things like that. But you also want to, administrators probably want to control that. And there are things like the data loss prevention policies where you can say, you know, that makers can't use certain connectors or can't use certain connectors in conjunction with others at the moment is what the data loss policies will prevent.
Right.
But from an application lifecycle, I would say that's not one of the things that I deal with too much because in the area that I'm working in, because I'm not really in an enterprise scenario, but there are ways now to package things up and, you know, move them from dev to test to production, that sort of thing.
How do you deploy the things out to the company devices?
Well, so if it's just a really basic app, all you need to do is publish it. There's a publish button. Mm-hmm. So there's a save and then a publish. And then, so in the most basic format, and then you can share it. You can share it with everyone in your organization, as an example, or with specific people. And I believe also groups, but don't quote me on that one. I'd have to check that to make sure. And then those people would have it available if they install the PowerApps app on their phone, for example, then that PowerApp that you shared with them will show up when they open Power Apps. And then you can, the individual person can have put that on their, like on their home screen of their phone. It doesn't necessarily right. have to, they have to, don't have to open Power Apps. And then the app, they can just open the app that, from that point.
Can I push an app out to a set of devices?
To devices, no, not that I'm aware of.
No, so it's up to the individual user to get to install the app initially.
To install Power Apps?
Yeah, well, right.
Yeah, that's what they're really, that's all they need to install is Power Apps from the App Store, Microsoft's Power Apps app.
From the Microsoft App Store. After that, it's their account information that allows me to show them my app?
That's correct. So okay. when they log in to Power Apps with their Office 365 credentials,
right.
then that's when it'll automatically show them any apps that have been shared with them.
Now, is it they all have to be within the same organization to see the app, or could I make an app available to partners?
At this point, no. That's another limitation of Power Apps mm-hmm. that it's not available for external users right. at all.
That's fair. I'm sure that'll come along.
That's something that's being worked on, and I know that it's a big it's a very important ask from the world. I would say, especially for not only for the apps for the devices, but if you're customizing SharePoint forms as well, that means that if you've got guest users that use your SharePoint right. site, they're not going to be able to see that Power Apps form, which means that they basically can't see any form.
Yeah, they're broken, basically.
Yes,
as it stands right now.
Yep.
Which that's a non-trivial limitation. It's something that InfoPath did ages
ago.
That's
true. Right, that's right.
But the way that it did it is not like what Power Apps is doing. So mm-hmm. for now, at least, Power Apps is within the organizational unit of an O365 account.
Correct.
For better or worse. But, it is interesting to think there. I did run across, there's a whole section here on migrating an existing InfoPath project over to Power Apps. But, but it is interesting to think in terms that it's going to be restricted to only people within your organization.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you make an app that you want to share in the sense that it's not going to be connecting to your organization, but mm-hmm. You just want to share it because it's a game app or something like that. Cause I've seen people create Power Apps that are games. there's a file. I mean, you can just create a zip file and send it to that person. And if it's not, if you don't need to log into your Office 365 account to right. do the things that that app is doing, then that person can just install it.
Interesting. Yeah. So we just have to have our identity capabilities more sophisticated enough that they can use credentials properly to get mm-hmm. the backend services. But if you don't have a dependency in the backend services, then okay.
Right.
You're good.
Yeah. Yeah. When I do my sessions, I usually create a demo app that then people can download if they fill out my eval form.
Nice.
then a flow behind that automatically links them to my OneDrive, where they can download the app, and it doesn't connect to anything because it's just a demo. But then they can install that in their own Power Apps and play around with what we've done with the formulas and stuff.
Awesome. Well, Sandy, this is good stuff. I'm really excited to see where Power Apps goes. It's been a couple of years. Clearly, there's more to be done, but people are using it, so I'm sure Microsoft is listening.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I think there's been quite a huge uptake at this point.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks very much for having me, Richard.
And we'll talk to you next time on Run As Radio.